Thank you very much. That was a crazy one.
Such a great privilege for me to be here. I just came back from a holiday. My wife and I and our kids were on a holiday. So I'm ample excited that I get to start the next 6 months of this year with you guys here in the youth. And the vibe is crazy. You guys are wild, especially the one person at the back. She's like a crowd by herself right there. But we're going to be our, yes. All right. So today we are talking about Word on Miracles. And I want to start off by asking you a question. How many of you here have ever heard or seen a miracle before? Hands up. All right, great. Who wants to come and share about a miracle that they've seen? Hands down. Okay, there we go. You should have kept your hands up. You ready? Come on, let's clap for her. She comes up.
Okay, it's not a miracle I've seen, but I've experienced it because I had epilepsy, and then my mom and her whole like team at church, because she ministers, they prayed for me, and now I don't have epilepsy, so that's a miracle for me.
Thank you. Oh, you also want to share?
Cool. Okay, so I've got a friend called Nick who recently had some brain, like he had a lot of pressure in his brain. So they had to take him to hospital, and he was already in critical condition. And then they had to drill a hole in his head just to release some of the pressure and all that stuff. And then their family just asked, okay, can everyone just pray for him? And there's a specific time, it was seven o'clock in the evening. We all lit candles and we started praying. Next day they said that he's healing and he's doing really well. And yeah.
Good job. All right. So many of those miracles are things that we like to attribute miracles to, things that whether we've prayed for someone and something physically happens to them, or the impossible situation seems to turn completely the other way around. But today I want to focus on three aspects on miracles. One, miracles as it pertains to what happens inside of you, right? Two, miracles as to what it pertains when things happen through you. And lastly, things that God will do for you in this respect of miracles. So I'm going to pray and we're going to jump straight into the word. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is good and that your word is true. Thank you that today, as we consider your word, we can confidently know that you intend to do what you have said you will do in us, through us, and for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. When I was a kid, my superhero was Superman. How many of you are Superman super fans? No one here. Great. That's very sad, okay? My number one superhero is Superman, and number two is Santa Claus, but Santa Claus was too fat for me, and I've had a problem, you know, since I was a teen in terms of my chubbiness. So I stuck to Superman. And Superman, the reason I liked him, that he could fly, and he had a six-pack, and he could get into telephone booths, and he could change quickly, right? That's something every teenager would love to be able to do, to change very quickly and fly and be strong and be fast, okay? Superman was my guy. But the only problem with Superman is that Superman could only happen to one person on this planet. Well, in his Hollywood planet, right? And that was Clark Kent. You and I didn't have a chance to become Superman because we didn't come from that place that he comes from. What's that place? Krypton. What? Krypton. Yes, and the Kryptonite. Yes, awesome, right? We never came from Kryptonite. We just came from what? Danzani or Santa. I don't know. Yeah, we don't have kryptonite there. We just have Coke. You know, that's the only thing that messes us up, Coca-Cola. All right, so Superman, I could never get a chance to be Superman because I don't come from Krypton. But here's the thing. Imagine if Superman was able to, you know, translate himself into your life, right? And all of a sudden you have the spirit of Superman. So you have the potential to do everything that Superman can do. You have the potential to fly, you have the potential to run fast, to be strong, to break things and help people and rescue people, because Superman's spirit now dwells inside of you. Now, if that was a possibility, I would have put up my hands a long time ago and said, man, I want that opportunity. But how many of you know that the Bible tells us that in Jesus Christ, we get that same miracle happening for us? that Jesus' spirit, right, the same spirit that helped him conquer death, helped him to conquer life as well, now dwells in you if you believe in him. So I'm going to read the scripture. I want to unpack that a little bit more. What God wants to do in you. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If, in fact, the spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit of life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Here's the amazing miracle of what happens inside of you. When you receive through faith the power of the cross, what Jesus has done in the cross, you get this amazing transformational miracle that takes place in your life. God comes and he takes out the old nature that you have, the old nature that was bent towards doing wrong, bent towards rebelling against God, bent towards sinning against God, a powerless nature that had no power but to be submitted to sin and the power of sin. He comes and he takes that nature out of you and he places his new nature inside of you. And it's a powerful nature, as we're going to find out about very soon. How do we receive this new nature? Very simple. We receive it by faith, by having faith in the finished work of the cross. That Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, he died a painful death, so that whoever will believe in him will now have not just eternal life, but now you have this new nature that he comes and he places in your life, right? If you're here today and you have given your life to Jesus, you said, man, I believe in you. That great miracle has happened in your life. Right now, as you sit there, you have a new nature that Christ came and he placed inside of you, a powerful nature that gives you the potential to do what he can do and to be what he says you can be. Now, barring a few things, you can't go on the cross and die for the sins of man like Jesus did. But you can surely do the things that come from the benefits of the cross. Healing the sick, praying for the sick, seeing them healed, all right? Casting out demons. Allowing the freedom of God to not just be experienced by you, but by the people around you. Is that good news? It is different good news, right? So you receive this new nature by faith. But how do we live in this new nature? The new nature gives us the power to say no to sin, and we are made righteous just like Jesus was righteous. So, how many of you have ever, those of you maybe who've given your life to Jesus, you started following Jesus, and as you followed him, you're like, oh man, I've got this new nature. It's a powerful new nature. Oh man, Jesus receives me, and God receives me. I've got this all righteousness inside of me, and he accepts me fully, right? But you still found yourself committing some sins. How many of you ever had that experience? 2, 3. All right, we're going to take your names. You're not allowed to come to church anymore. We only want righteous people in this church. That's a bad joke, but it's okay. You can still come back next week. Now listen. The truth of the matter is God changes. God puts to death your old nature. He gives you a new nature. It's powerful. It's righteous. Everything that was in Christ now dwells in you. It's hard to fathom it because you look at your natural circumstance. You look at the person next to you and you compare yourself to them and you go, oh, I'm just another human being. But no, that's not true, right? His nature dwells in you. The only other person you can compare yourself to rightly is Jesus himself. You waste your time by comparing yourself to the person next to you. Because, right, they no longer the standard. The spirit that dwells inside of you has given you new potential and new possibilities. So the only person you can compare yourself to, the only person you can look up to as an image of what life can look like and be is Jesus Christ himself. Everything that he is, now you can be here on this earth, right? So we have all that. It's wonderful. And then we still keep on sinning. Why do we still keep on sinning then if this new nature is so powerful? Why are we still going through some of those things if this new nature is powerful? Here's a simple answer, right? Though your new nature has changed, what has happened? Your mind still needs to be renewed, right? All of us have grown up with certain habits, say things that we do without even thinking. But here's what the Bible says in Romans 12, that you need to let your mind be renewed, right? And as your mind is renewed, your mind comes into alignment, into agreement with this new powerful nature that you now have. So how do you renew your mind? Very simple. You renew your mind by spending time in that Bible, spending time in relationship with God. How many of you have ever had friends who are bad friends? They've got low ambitions. Are you about to give her a high five? Is she one of your bad friends? It's the weirdest. Yes. Right? You hang around them. They always seeking for just below the best. Right? Or they're always doing bad things or whatever it might be, smoking, whatever. And the more you hang around that bad company, what happens to your own character? It's pulled by that bad company. And all of a sudden, you find yourself doing things because of the group that you've identified with. But when you hang around good company, people with great ambitions, people with a desire for God to fulfill the promises that He's promised them in their life, people with a great passion, people with a great longing, all of a sudden, regardless of what stage you're in, you find yourself being pulled up to a new place, pulled up to a new standard, and you believe that you can reach out for more because the environment you're in is seeking out for more. You with me? But now, the more you spend time with Christ, the more you spend time in His Word, His presence pulls you up to a new way of thinking, right? And you begin to realize, man, this is what Christ is like. These are the opportunities and the possibilities and the potential I have as I spend time in His presence. I can be who He says I am meant to be. So the miracle starts with us realizing that Christ does a miracle in us by putting to death our old nature and giving us a new nature. We can hold this new nature knowing that, man, this new nature allows me to be accepted before God the Father at all times. There's never a moment, I don't care how bad you've been, how good you've been, if you have chosen to give your life to Jesus Christ, there's never a moment where you go before the Father and the Father says, you know, I don't like you. Right? Because His new nature, that spirit, the spirit of His Son dwells in you. Right? So you are eternally, forever accepted by God the Father. Right? All right. God also wants to do some amazing things, amazing miracles through you. I want to read the scripture, Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided that we, thank you, Mario, suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Not only do we have this new nature, but now, through Jesus Christ, we have new power in Christ. How many of you have ever seen traffic cops on the road, right? Traffic cops. Thank you, Shane. You guys are a friendly crowd, just raising up your hands all the time. I appreciate it. Traffic cops have authority, right? They can stand in the middle of the road with huge cars coming, taxis coming, and all they need to do is just do this. And a car moves. It doesn't matter how big the guy is, how old the guy is, how great of a cop is. All he needs to do is just, yes. Yes, don't get up. That's it. And the car moves right there. Why? Because they've been given authority by who? By the government. And so they exercise that authority. They don't have to push things or try and push cars or anything like that. No, just by the simple authority of now of what they wear. We on the roads, people who drive, like the lady who drove from America in the deep sea, there are cops right there. They'll be like, excuse me, I know you're trying to find Dory or whoever she is. Pull up here by the seaweeds, right? There's authority that they have because of the authority that they've been given. Now, you know, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, he has given you authority and he has given you power. There's difference there. Authority is me being able to go, hey, this won't happen here. This won't happen in my school. This won't happen in my home. This won't happen to my friends. I've been given authority. Back up this way. Power, on the other hand, which is something that the police people don't have, right? They might have authority, but they don't have power. Power is the person's ability to be able to, as the car is driving, to stop the car, hold the car, and put it on the side of the road, or change the person's desire or heart in the car. No policeman has the power to do that. But the Bible says you and I have been given both authority and power. So we can mandate, no, this will not happen in my space. But not only will it not happen in my space, you who is sick, I'm going to pray for you and you will be healed. You'll be healed right now. I have the power to change your circumstance, not just to control your circumstance and not allow it to happen to my life, but I now have the power to change the circumstance from happening in your life too. You hear what I'm saying? Give an example. I was in Newcastle years ago, I can't remember. And there was a line of people that we were praying for who were sick. And this couple came to me, elderly couple. And the wife said, oh, I'm deaf. I've been deaf in my one ear. I can't hear. And my husband is deaf in the other ear. And I said, okay, cool. It's crazy, right? I mean, imagine that marriage. Like, hello? No, the other side. Hello? It's awesome marriage. It's amazing. So the lady came and I laid hands on her and I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And I prayed for her. I think her left ear was deaf or something. Laid hands on her and then it popped and now she could start hearing. Now, I couldn't show her that this was the first time I had seen this kind of miracle. So I was trying to act all calm, like, oh, you're healed. Yeah, praise them. See, I didn't mean praise them as in you guys clap, but that's exactly what I did, right? So like, oh, no, I can hear. I'm like, amen, you see, because God heals, mama. God heals people. And then she looked like, yeah, what about my husband? Now, I didn't want to lose my winning streak because I was 100% at this time. So I said to her, kid you not, true story, I was there with Carol Gosman, Pastor Carol Gosman. I said, ma, you know what? The same thing I did for you, you can do. I'm telling you, you can pray for this guy and this guy can be healed. Because I wasn't going to lose my winning streak. I just had a deaf person healed. I'm going to go home with a 100% record. Straight up, I wasn't going to lose it. So I prayed for her. She got healed. Wah. I was like, ma, you can do the same for your husband. You can do the same. And so she laid hands on the husband. In my mind, I was thinking, okay, if this doesn't work, I'm just going to tell her, just continue praying. When you go home, just continue laying hands on him. You're going to be fine, right? And I was going to move on to someone with like flu or something. Okay. Laid hands. Bear in mind, at this time, I'm not even in faith. I'm still celebrating the fact that I just saw someone who was deaf now being healed. Laid hands on her husband. I turned around to start speaking to someone else. She starts screaming because her husband now could hear, right? Amazing, right? Too cool. All that to show this, right? We tend to think when it comes to God's power, we need to be so far along the line of maturity that God will only use us when we get to Mario stage, or when we get to Pastor Mark stage, or when we get to Pastor Debbie stage, that when we get there, right, finally at that moment we can pray for the sick and people will be healed. But it doesn't work like that in the kingdom, right? When Jesus walked into a certain area and he found a man who was bound up in demons and he cast out the demons from the man and the man said, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. He said, no, go and do what I just did to you. Go do to other people. How much training time did that guy have? How many courses did they go to? How many word on miracle sessions did they have to go to? Now listen, If you are going to see miracles taking place through you, it won't be because you don't have power. It will only be because you don't have the courage. Bottom line. You see, I've prayed for many people who have not been healed. But it takes one person being healed to make you go, I'm going to pray for someone else. That's it. But you need to continue. The courage to know that the power of God that is inside of you is like a lion desiring to come out of you. It's not meant to just live inside of you and make you feel good about being saved. That power longs to break out of the prison of your life and touch the people around you and bring transformation into their lives. So, the pathway to bring the lion that roars inside of you out of that cage is courage. And that means you put yourself in positions where you need to trust God to come through. There's no other way, right? You put yourself in positions where every now and again, it might work, it might not work, but that doesn't matter, right? Because the power of God is true, and what he has said will come true. You put yourself in the firing line of courage, and you'll see what God will do through you. So, this new power that we've received, how have we received it? Simple. We've received it because we have become sons and daughters of God. Right? The pathway for us receiving power is that God has chosen to make us sons. Isn't it awesome? God could have chosen to make you and I slaves. He could have chosen to make you and I servants. But he says, no, no, no. I want to make you my daughter. I want to make you my son. I want to give you my name. And because you have my name, you will have my kind of power. So let me give you an example here. How many of you here know my surname? Okay, one, two. People work church kind of vibes, right? Many of you don't know my surname. If I had to come to you now and say, I am Siviwe Mandela, how many of you would be interested, are you related to the Mandelas by any chance, right? I tell you now, my surname is not yet. Not even one of you cares. You know, like, no one's going to come and be like, are you related to... In fact, no, I don't know any Notches who are famous, you know, you by yourself, right? But because I have a name of Mandela, you go, man, there must be some prestige, there must be some fame, there must be some degree of authority or power that's attached to this guy's life. You with me? Names are important. When someone gives you their name, and what we just read now, the Bible says God has adopted you as his son or daughter. That means he's given you his name. He entrusts you with his name. And as a father, I can tell you that is one of the most important things I can do for my kids is to help them know that they can take pride in the name that they have, right, as my family. But that the name that God has given you is a powerful name. Bible tells us that every knee will eventually bow, every tongue will eventually confess that to that name is Lord of all. There is no other name that is as powerful as that name, and he's chosen to give that name to you. So what will you do with that level of authority, that level of power? Will you just appease it for yourself, or are you going to go out and make a difference of the lives of the people that are around you? So I want to make an example quickly. Who wants to be my son for 5 minutes? Brother man, sorry man, can you come up here? Right here, this brother man right here. He's like, I don't want to be your son though. I just want to be your nephew. All right, what's your name? Christopher. Nice to meet you, Chris. Don't worry, son. It's going to be all right. All right, this is Christopher. Christopher, don't tell your dad about this. It's going to be, don't tell your mom either. Don't tell anyone. Christopher, for this example, you're going to be my son, all right? Can just stand right here. Now, the Bible tells us in the Gospels that when Jesus was about 30 years old, he got baptized. When he got baptized, he came out of the water and the heavens opened up and a voice of his father said, this is my beloved son in whom I love, right? Right? Powerful moment, big moment. But you don't realize how powerful that moment is until you learn a bit more about the culture of that time and why that had to happen. Now, when people had grown up to be 30 years old like Jesus was. The father would take his son out into the court area where everyone could see his son. And he would make that statement. Chris is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And why was he doing this demonstration in the courtyard? Because of this. As a father, I would go out and trade with people. I don't have money now. I trade here, and I go to your business. I buy meat from your business. You trust me. I know you guys definitely have a meat business. You guys, straightly. I go to these guys' fashion business, kind of, trade with these guys, right? But now, he's 30 years old, and here's what I'm doing now. I'm saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And I'm trying to tell my entire community that from now on, whenever you see Chris, it's as if you're seeing me. When Chris comes to your shop, your meat shop, and he buys meat, you give him exactly the same discount that you give me. When he comes and trades with you, you treat him exactly the same way that you would treat me. Why? Because now he's my son. He represents me in all things at all times, right? And this is the moment when God opens up the heavens, and he said that about Jesus. He's telling the whole world, from now on, whatever he does is as if I am doing it. Whatever he says, it's as if I'm doing it with my own authority. I'm making that transaction with my own authority. Thank you, Chris. You've been a great son. Great inheritance. And here's a point I want to make. The importance of being sons and daughters comes with this idea that God gives us great responsibility. He's entrusting us to take this authority that he's given us, take this power that he's given us, and use it to glorify him and to expand his kingdom. You have the privilege to do this next thing. You have the privilege to partner with God. You see, God could have just said, listen, I want you to come and work for me. Fine, I've saved you. Now I want you to just work for me. Go and do this and go and do that. But God didn't do that. God said, now, I've saved you, but I want to work with you. I'm not just going to send you out to do it by yourself, but I'm going to partner with you. I'm going to give you all the authority. I'm going to give you power. And then I'm going to partner with you. And you and I are going to go about doing my business in this world so that people can know me, right? And so we declare and demonstrate who God is and what his kingdom is like, and we deliver those who are broken, lost, and rebellious from Satan's grip to embrace God. This is a privilege that we get to do as sons and daughters and heirs of Christ. All right, last one. What God wants to do for you. Romans 8, verses 31 to 35. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who then can be against us? He who does not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? None of these things can separate you from the love of God. So we've said, miracle that has taken place in your life is that, one, you have received a new nature, right? Which is powerful, which is amazing. Two, you have received new power that allows you to partner with God and be his heir here on this earth. Three, God is giving you new favor. He's giving you new favor. I have the privilege, I've got two kids, right? I have the privilege of being a father to my kids. I love my kids, they're great. But even when my kids do wrong, or even if my kids do right, I am always with them. I am always behind them. I am always encouraging them towards what God wants for them, right? Sometimes when we think about God, we have this image that God is only for us when we do the right thing. Truth be told, God empowers you through the new nature to be able to do the right thing, but God is always with you, whether you do the right thing or not. And God is always with you, whether you're going through a great season or whether you're going through a bad season. In fact, the Bible says this, that the only time that God actually reasons, or maybe not the only time, but God reasons with us when we do something wrong. The Bible says he takes us into the wilderness and he reasons with us. And he says, listen, son, don't do this. And the reason why you shouldn't do this is because you're called for this, or because I'm bringing you to this place. And he actually reasons with us. When we do something wrong, he doesn't run away from us and disown us. We don't stop being his sons because we have become imperfect in some or other form. And also, when we go through tough times, we're tempted to go, ah, you see, I told you God doesn't exist, right? I told you God is not powerful. It's not true either. God's power is not determined by your happiness. Now listen, if I was saying that in another church, people would be standing up going, But I understand you guys are going through exam time. So I'm going to ask you, just for my sake, just say amen right there. Just leave it right there. You understand later. Just say amen. All right? God's power is not determined by your happiness. Just because you're happy doesn't mean God blesses you. And just because you're sad doesn't mean God doesn't bless you. God is God. He is who he is all the time. He doesn't change when you change. He doesn't change when you think he should change. He remains who he is all the time. And so even on your worst day, you can count on his grace to still be good to you. Even on your best day, you can count on his grace to still be good to you. And you know what that does for us as sons and daughters? It allows us to walk into all of life with confidence. We don't have to wonder what God thinks about us in all areas of life. We know he's good towards us. Listen, if you forget anything that I say today, it's okay, you can get the recording. But I want you to remember this. The day you realize that God is greater than anything you've ever seen, he is better than anything you can imagine, and he is stronger than anything you'll ever encounter. That moment in your life when you say, yes, this is what God is like. When you are convicted by that, that moment will change your life forever. I can assure you that. It will make you stand before kings. It will make you stand before people that you never thought you could stand against, because you realize for the first time in your life that you are walking through life with God himself, the Lion of Bodyguards. And everything else that you face in life is but a mouse with a microphone. I love that analogy. When you realize, just for a split moment, this is the kind of God who calls you his father. Man, it should change you. And you need to work so hard to protect that testimony, hard to protect that reality of who God says he is for you. So when you face giants, you're not intimidated by the giants, but you know that the giants are intimidated by your God. That's the way it should be. That's the way our life, I don't care how old or young you are, that's the way your life is. That's the way your life should be. So he gives us this new favor. He protects us. He provides for us regardless of the time or season. We'll just read this quickly. We have a Father in God who fulfills promises. Everything that he says in his word. This is why you need to read your Bible every day. Okay? Not every second day. You just read your Bible every day. Right? Because you want to know, man, what has he said about himself and what has he said about me? And I'm going to stick to what he has said about me and I'm going to stick to what he has said about himself. He will fulfill all his promises. He's not a man that he should lie. When he says it, it either becomes what he says or it will be what he has said it will be. Right? We have a supernatural favor and protection, which is what I just spoke to you about. Even if bad stuff happens, God is always with us. We are blessed and empowered in all circumstances. Kind of reminds me of the Israelites, right? Those of you who maybe have read the first five books of the Bible, one of my favorite books to read is the book of Exodus. Read the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers. fun stuff to read. A lot of people die, but fun stuff to read. Okay? And here's what you find out. The Israelites, they still had the presence of God with them when they were going through hard times, when they were in Egypt and they were being persecuted and they were being enslaved. God's presence was still there with them, right? And then they get out of Egypt miraculously. God demonstrates his power for them miraculously. And they get out of Egypt. And now they're in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights. And even in that place, 40 days, 40 nights, there for 40 years, my bad. They're there for 40 years. Even in that place of confusion and fatigue and frustration, God is with them. He comes through with manna every single day. He's there by a cloud that guides them during the day and a pillar of fire that guides them during the night. He's constantly with them. And then they get into the promised land. And though there are giants in the promised land that they need to fight off, God is still with them in that promised land where now they're having milk and honey. Good things are happening to them. God is still right there with them, celebrating the good things with them. Regardless of what season you are in life, God is with you. Here are some young people who knew this revelation, and they demonstrated it for us in such a way that we can also be encouraged. Shadrach, Abednego, and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. A friend of mine used to say, what? Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. Something like that. That guy is not saved anymore, but anyway, I'm joking. These three young men have chosen to follow God. They love God, and they've dedicated their lives to follow God. The king says, listen, I want to put in some laws that are going to restrict you guys from worshiping other gods. And so now you need to do as I have told you. I don't care what other gods you served. You will do what I've told you. These three guys go, listen, we can't do that because we fear God more than we fear you. Now, I'm just going to throw that in there. It's not part of the sermon. If you want to be free in your life, learn to fear God more than you fear people. You'll be free, right? The more you fear people, the more you'll try to please them. The more you'll be imprisoned by their desires and their opinions of you. Fear God more than you fear people and you'll be free, right? So here they are. They go, man, we're going to fear God way more than we fear you. And the king is like, all right, then let's throw them into the furnace. Let's let them burn a little bit there in the furnace, and we'll kill them that way. And so they get into the furnace. It starts burning. It's crazy. I'm sure they're like, oh, man, chisa nyama here, but it's our nyama. You know, they're in there. It's crazy. And whilst they're in there, people from the outside are going, man, surely they're dead now, but hold on, they still seem to be standing. These guys are still up. They're still standing. The fire doesn't seem to be catching on to them. It doesn't seem to be burning them. But here's the secret, right? Of all that's happening in that time, what's happening in that moment, they peep in and they realize, hold on, we put three men in here, but we see four. What happened? In that moment, Jesus manifests himself physically. God manifests himself physically to remind all of us that even in our most painful hours, even in our most toughest moments, when the fire seems too hard for us to handle, he showed not just them, but the people who are watching from a distance that he's with them. Whatever you're going through in your life, whether it's good or bad, there are people watching you. Do they see that God is with you? Right? By the way you celebrate, by how joyous and joyful you are in the midst of all that you're going through. God is with you. This is a favor, the new favor that he has granted us for the rest of our lives, along with the power of God that he's given us and the new nature that we get a privilege of calling our own. So I want to end it like this. We're going to hand out a piece of paper as we close. And on this piece of paper, I want you to write one thing. One thing that you are trusting God for this year. By the end of this year, you want this thing to happen, whatever it is, whether it's something that you feel like you need to have or something that needs to happen, whatever it is. And it must be like a miracle. It must seem somewhat impossible to get it from where you're sitting right now. So I want you to write it down and sign it off with your name. Da-da-da-da-da, Chris, okay? And we're going to have like a miracle box. You're going to put that into a box, and then your leaders and you guys every now and again will take the box out and you'll pray for it. And we want to trust God that by the end of this year, we're going to take out so many of those cards and go, man, look what God did, right? Look what God did for me. Look what God did for us. And we get to celebrate that as a community. So Lord, thank you for each and every person who's here. Lord, thank you that you have called them with great destiny. You've given them, Lord, a new nature, new power, Lord God, and a new favor that they can walk with might and strength. And Father, I just pray that whatever person who's here feeling discouraged, that you would encourage them. Lord, I also pray for those people who are here who don't know you, who don't follow you, Lord, who's saying, man, I want to know more about who Jesus is. I pray that you would draw them in today, that you would call them by your loving grace, by your kindness, and that, Lord God, they would come into this newness of life that you have promised to everyone who will believe. This I pray in your name. Amen.
So you're going to drop it into that box. Thanks, Severe Ware. Wow. I think Severe Ware has rewired our brains this morning, don't you think? Rewired the way we think. I think we're going to be different because of who we are, you know, who we belong to. In Toy Story, the transforming moment was when that toy picks up his shoe, Andy, or under his shoe is written Andy, because that kid had written his name on that Woody's foot underneath. And when he realized who he was different forever. May we be different because we've learned and realized today who we are, whose we are. So we're not up here next Sunday. School holiday starts. We still have the Friday, as we mentioned. Down in the service for a couple of weeks when the government school starts. If you're in a private school, sorry for you because you work really hard and you're not on leave at the same time. But we'll be back. I think it's like the 18th or something, or the 20th weekend of July that we're getting back. And so watch the space. Next term is going to be huge and epic. Friday night's going to be deep and different in a way that you cannot even begin to imagine, with a meal every Friday night. And we're launching an Alpha series that's going to be amazing. It's been happening all across the world. We're going to be part of that movement. There's going to be movies and meals and small groups, and many people, your friends, are going to come to know Jesus. And Sundays, we're going to learn how to replicate ourselves into other people. So watch the space. So God bless you. Some of you Friday. Enjoy the time of holidays. Cheers.